Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Later in the program, Dominic Enyart will join us. In fact, he'll come in as soon as he can. First, we'll talk about the Weinstein-Hollywood scandal proves the prudes right. The scandal proves the prudes right, right? And it's not just the Weinstein scandal. It's the Weinstein-Hollywood scandal because it's the entire industry. Also, we have the Republicans. They outspent our record federal revenues by 666, $666 billion. That's a lot of money. We made predictions about what the Republicans might do after the Obama administration. We'll talk about that. Then there's also the news out of Harvard's Kennedy School of North Korea developing biological weapons, mass-producing biological weapons. And that's part of what we shared earlier in the summer about the war machine, the propaganda machine starting up. And we do need to attack North Korea and to take out their government because they have 25 million people enslaved there in that country and for other reasons. So we'll talk about that. And then also, biggest news yet, tomorrow's program. You know who should really tune into tomorrow's program? The Archbishop in Denver, the Denver Archdiocese. We have a man flown in from Florida, where he lives now, who grew up in the Denver metro area, and he is another of Neil Hewitt's victims, a Denver Archdiocese Roman Catholic priest, Father Neil Hewitt, molested boys here in the Denver area. Then he was sent up in the mountains to Leadville, Colorado, where he molested children there. Devastating. We have done these programs. The young boy, his name was Stuart Saki. His father had died, and this new priest, Neil Hewitt, had come to their mountain town, and he came alongside young Stuart, who was devastated with the loss of his father, and Father Hewitt was there to be a friend and a mentor and to introduce him to pornography, to alcohol, and he molested him. And Stuart wrote his handwritten letter to Neil Hewitt was found in his belongings after Stuart had committed suicide. Just absolutely devastating. We did that program, and other victims of Father Neil Hewitt, now he's no longer a priest as far as we know, the Archdiocese, we asked one question. They refused to answer that question. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We intend to continue to ask that question of the Archdiocese, but now we have half of the answer. We've gotten half of the answer to our question without them, but you'll have to tune in tomorrow to hear Michael and his horrific story. So that at 3 o'clock live, and people listening around the country, of course, online at KGOV.com. This is Colorado's most powerful Christian radio station, 50,000 watts. So the state of Colorado, in fact, part of the nation, will learn Michael's story tomorrow. And it's devastating. It will be the first time it has ever been publicly aired. And so please tune in for that, and also tell your friends. It's horrifying, but it's so important that the nation realize the extent of this crisis and that it is still being mishandled to this very day. And we'll talk about how that is on tomorrow's program. Okay, so these different news items I'm mentioning. Also, I will be traveling to the Grand Canyon with Dr. Walt Brown. You know that guy? All the WWB discoveries working for Walt Brown? All the scientists who work for Walt Brown? Well, I've heard in the last few days, I've heard from mechanical engineers One here in Colorado, another from D.C., Washington, D.C. The one in Colorado, I don't know how much of what he shared with me I could share publicly, but he is in the inner circle of some of the key engineers building state-of-the-art equipment for scientific investigation. And some of his equipment, he's a team lead, some of his equipment is used to claim the secular origins worldview, that God didn't make us, he didn't make the universe, the solar system, but it all happened naturally in an undirected process. And this engineer is a bit concerned that his work is being used to misrepresent science to the public. So it's so neat to realize the extent of Real Science Radio, our reach, but then Dr. Walt Brown's reach around the world. And one of the chapters in his book is on the origin of the Grand Canyon. And if you Google that phrase, I mean, that is a very competitive topic, the origin of the Grand Canyon. I'm doing it right now. Origin of the Grand Canyon. 800,000 results. Google says there are 800,000 web pages that they believe are relevant to the origin of the Grand Canyon. And the number one, the highest ranked result is Dr. Walt Brown's website, creationscience.com, the origin of the Grand Canyon. Just absolutely thrilling. So to be able to go there with Dr. Brown and other creation activists, leaders, it's going to be a tremendous trip. And of course, when I get back, I'll tell you all about it. But we're going to be looking at geological formations and asking the question, while you're there on site, does our understanding of Earth's history help us to explain this? And if you know of a secular geologist who thinks, or a professor, a teacher in a high school or college, and they think that they can understand the origin, they can explain how the Grand Canyon formed, ask them to explain how the side canyons formed. Just pull up a Google Maps, let them look at a few of the side canyons. There's 100 of them. They're enormous. And just ask them, so how did those canyons form? Clearly, it wasn't the Colorado River. Rivers don't take right turns, left turns, go back, continue flowing. They just don't do that. So how did the side canyons form? So while we're waiting for Dominic to get here, Dominic Enyart, the Weinstein Hollywood scandal proves the prudes right. The prudes have always been right. In heaven, there's probably going to be special reward for the Christians, you know, those who actually love Jesus Christ, the true Christians, not if you just have the name of Christian, because there are a lot of tares growing among the wheat, right? Jesus said that. So there's a lot of people who claim, you know, Lord, Lord, but Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So when we talk about heaven, we're talking about true Christians, people who actually love Jesus Christ and trust him. Well, in heaven, there'll be a special reward for the Christians who were accused of being prudes. If you've been accused of being a prude, that's pretty good. That says a lot about you. Congratulations. There's no such thing as an industry that respects women where they then have to take off their clothes to get hired and to get paid. There's no such thing as that kind of industry. If you think that's possible, it's because you're ignorant and you're immoral. But today, gross ignorance passes for street smart expertise. If you're grossly ignorant, people will elevate you. They'll think highly of you if you're a fool, if you're immoral. And speaking of which, Bill O'Reilly, aside from all the sexual harassment settlements that had been reported previously, now there's another one. Wow. One of his frequent guests, I think she was on every week for years, Les Wheel. She's an attorney. She was one of his legal analysts. Apparently, she sued Bill O'Reilly for sexual harassment, and he settled with her for $32 million. $32 million. Now, Sean Hannity, I'm not a big fan of Sean Hannity because of his support for Republican politicians who kill unborn children, for his constant advocacy for homosexuality, homosexual rights, and all that, and for many other reasons. But Sean Hannity has had it right that if you get wrongly accused of sexually assaulting someone or sexually harassing them, you don't settle. You don't take a plea bargain. You don't. It's too significant. And for O'Reilly to have done this time and time and time again, all these women, and he wants us to believe that they're all false accusations, and he keeps giving them millions of dollars, and now Les Wheel, he gives her $32 million, assuming this report is correct. $32 million? $32 million? No one pays $32 million to a false accuser. So, and as we've pointed out about Bill O'Reilly, his frequent hitting on beautiful women on the air, on his program, in front of the whole nation, when he would bet them they'd disagree about something, and he'd say, I'll bet you a dinner at this nice restaurant in Manhattan. I'll bet you dinner. I'll bet you dinner. He must have said that 30 times to all these beautiful women. He never bet a dinner to an ugly old gal. Never, not one time. He never bet a dinner, to my recollection, to a man. Never bet a dinner to an older woman or a heavyset woman. Only to beautiful women would he make a wager, and the result would be they'd go out to dinner. How's that? So he's hitting on them on the air. And if he has that much boldness to do that, what would he do when they're not on the air? And the millions of dollars paid off to all these women seems to be a real indicator. And of course, O'Reilly largely buys into the secular worldview that some abortion is good, that we've evolved from animals. When people believe they've evolved from animals, often they're okay with acting like animals. And in so many ways, we have our O'Reilly O'Reilly segment that we no longer do because now he's off the air. But we laid out all the many ways in which he was a liberal who hated the Clintons and grew to despise Obama. And because of that, his audience were so duped, they thought he was a conservative. Or they even thought he was a conservative Christian, of all things. Just like they think of Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump, potentially, is way closer to trusting in Jesus Christ than Bill O'Reilly is. But still, neither man has given any indication that they love Jesus Christ, that they're not going to support the killing of unborn children, as Trump has done now three times. Three budget bills, he has fully funded Planned Parenthood. And now what? We have outspent the federal revenues, which were epic. We have outspent our revenues by $666 billion. And we did that even without an Obama stimulus package. Hey, we did that on our own. Remember we used to say, don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion? Remember that? And with all the deficit spending and the enormous national debt we had by the end of the Obama administration, here on Bob and Yurt Live, we said, you know, it would be quite an accomplishment to outspend the Democrats through the Barack Obama administration. It'd be epic multiplied. But we do have a lot of faith in the Republican Party. And so far, Donald Trump and his administration, they have not let us down. $666 billion deficit. $666 billion. Now, I wonder which of our end times friends are going to latch on to that and now say, Donald Trump is the Antichrist, and this is the mark of the beast, our federal deficit. So we beat them to the punch, right? But they'll be wrong on that, too. Now, but we can't wait until the Lord Jesus returns, and we look forward to his soon return. We hope and pray he returns soon, but he has free will. You know, he could come back when he wants to come back. God never traded away his own liberty, his own freedom. Some people think he did. Some people think God had freedom and could affect what the future would hold, including, say, the creation. But then they think somehow that he traded away his freedom. Maybe they think he didn't trust himself with maintaining that liberty, that free will, that so-called libertarian free will. Maybe they think that. But of course, we can trust God with free will. All right. So, hey, is that okay? Dominic is coming in. So let's hold off our discussion of North Korea and their biological weapons for a couple moments. So, Dominic, welcome to this side of the studio glass. Have you ever been on the program before?
Hi, Dad. Yes, once when I was very little, long time ago.
Long, long time ago.
Many years ago.
So, welcome back. Thank you for all you do for Bob and Your Live at Denver Bible Church, and of course, in the fight to abolish human abortion. Thanks for all that, Dom.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dad.
So you wanted to share with the audience something that you've cooked up along with your friend Hudson Neihardt. So what is this project?
Yes. So at the end of every month, the last Sunday of every month, members of Denver Bible Church have been going out to an intersection near us, 44th and Kipling, and we've been holding anti-abortion signs and been doing anti-abortion ministries, saying that it's wrong and it's murdering our innocent neighbors and that it has to be abolished. And then we're sometimes passing out literature, talking to people who stop by, and we're just out there trying to spread the word that abortion is murder.
So this is a street witness. And normally when folks, we have church, we have a great time, and people want to get home with their families, of course. But usually we have about 8, 10, 12 people who will then take one more hour. And like you said, 44th and Kipling is right near Denver Bible Church. We are just off of 41st and Kipling. We're on Independence Court, 4085 Independence Court. Certainly, we invite people to come on out. But so after church, how long before folks leave the parking lot and head to 44th and Kipling?
Usually after church, we'll take 15 to 20 minutes, and then we'll head out, and then we'll distribute signs out there, or sometimes people bring their own signs, and then we'll meet up afterwards after about an hour of being out there, and then maybe go out to lunch or have some fellowship, and then...
Yeah, and even the fellowship during the event. One thing I love about our efforts to end abortion, to abolish human abortion, is the people that you meet at the events and the conversations you have, they're centered around God, around the scriptures, around our neighbors, how to reach them, how to warn people against sin, how to point people toward Jesus Christ. It's such a great time. But I know, being in charge of this, you don't like when we stand together. You try to separate us so our signs are more effective.
Yeah, we've kind of got it down to a science. We like to have people spread out so more people get to see the message. But occasionally we'll have two people on the same corner, and then that's usually a really good time for some good discussion.
Yeah, because if two people are on the same corner, the one sign could be facing one traffic direction, the other the others, and then you sort of cheat and get to chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Chit-chat. Also, I've enjoyed when people, just pedestrians, are coming by, because they do. And we get to talk to them. But then I don't know what you think about this, but I've always tried to have one or two pamphlets with me, because sometimes somebody will roll down a window in a car and say, hey, what are you guys up to? And I'll just offer them and they'll take one, like when they're stopped at a red light.
Yes. And pamphlets are so great, because usually when there's someone who's walking by, you don't have enough time to open up a discussion with them and talk to them for a long time. So if you give them a pamphlet, it has all the information in there. And so if anyone would like to join us for one of these events, it's always the last Sunday of every month. This month it will be the 29th. You could either meet us at the church, Denver Bible Church, and then we'll head out. We'll meet before and then head out to the intersection, and we'll distribute signs and whatnot. Or you could meet us just at the intersection, 44th and Kipling. We'll usually be there
around 12:30.
Yeah.
So, and if folks would like to meet at the church, of course, me being the pastor, I'd love to invite you to come out for the Sunday school that begins at 9:30, or we have church begins at 11, and we just have such a wonderful time. It's a Bible church, so don't be surprised if a Bible study breaks out during the service. That happens now and then, but we love the Lord, and we love our neighbor, and that's why we do this, so that we can reach people, urge people to trust in Jesus Christ, not in their own understanding. And by their own understanding, they might think, well, if we kill our child, we'll be better off. But the Bible says, don't do evil that good may come of it. So, Dominic, I want to thank you for that. Hey, maybe we could also discuss the front lines that was at Denver East High School a while back. You and I, we've never talked about that on the show either, obviously. Thank you for organizing that incredible week of outreach to the students and even to the faculty and staff of that public high school. How did you end up planning that? How did you get the idea for us to do that event?
Well, a few years ago, Jonathan Sutherland, he's now a leading Abolish Human Abortion activist, he invited me to go out to a Project Frontlines, which it was at the same high school, Denver East. And then that finished, and then...
Do you think it made an impact on you?
Definitely. Yeah, I learned a lot more about how to share the anti-abortion message and the gospel of Christ, and it was a good time, and then that encouraged me to later go on. And then for a while, I took a break from ministry with school and whatnot, and then just this past year, Hudson Neihart, he moved to Colorado, and then I became friends with him, and he was an abolitionist, and he encouraged me to get back into the abolitionist, the fight to abolish abortion. And then so me and him, we worked together to get that Project Frontlines going again. So,
and separate topic, but you're just back from an out-of-state hockey tournament. So you are very busy, Dominic. You have not only your schooling, which is homeschooling, but you're dual enrolled in a college course. And you work, you have a job, and you do hockey, and you do church, and you do ministry. So I get tired just thinking about everything that you do. But so many people who want their kids to grow up and believe in Jesus Christ, not just have lip service, but actually believe in him, love him, serve him. I think many of them don't realize the incredible opportunity of when you get involved in trying to save lives, because you love God and you love your neighbor, that is one of the most powerful ways for a young person to recognize the importance of living for God, not just being a Christian, but living for him.
Yeah, and one thing I've always thought is, since I was little, I would always watch superhero movies, and I thought it'd be really cool. I want to be a superhero and save people's lives. And then as I got older, I realized that's not really possible to have superpowers. And then I realized there is a way to save people's lives constantly. Wow. And that would be to abolish abortion and save thousands of lives if we could
do
that.
And even as we're fighting to do that, in the meantime, we're saving many lives.
Yes.
Dom, could I ask, how old are you? I should know, right?
I am 16.
You're 16 years old, and your birthday is later next spring. So, well, could you describe for us, we don't have too much time, but what was Frontlines? What happened at that week-long event?
So at Frontlines, Project Frontlines is when abolitionists go out to local high schools and we spread the gospel message and the anti-abortion message with high school students. And we're doing this in hopes that we can convince them that abortion is wrong before they actually go out to the clinics, because oftentimes by the time they reach the clinic, it's already too late.
It's so hard to stop them.
They've already made up their minds.
Right. We stop 1 out of 100, maybe.
Yes.
Very difficult.
Very hard to convince them not to go. So we're hoping we can get to them before they actually make up their minds to go.
Mm-hmm. And the literature from AHA, just the most fabulous literature, the pamphlets. And we handed out, it was many hundreds of beautiful literature designed for teenagers. And we saw the proof that they bring it into the high school, and that school was filled with these stunning, very intriguing pieces of literature that were way more interesting to read than, say, your social studies book.
Yes, exactly. It's,
yeah.
It's designed to be something that the teacher might or the principal might say, hey, don't read that. And then they'll be like, oh, I'm going to be a rebel and read it, and I'm going to be all cool and stuff.
Right.
So it's fun.
Yeah. And the conversations we had, scores of amazing conversations, not only with the students, but even with the faculty. I mean, amazing opportunities we had that week. So thank you for organizing that.
Yes, it was a lot of fun and enjoyed it a lot.
And thank you, Dominic, for coming on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Dad.
You're very welcome, Dominic. And Cheryl and I are blessed with 7 sons and gorgeous grandchildren. And we are truly blessed by the Lord beyond measure. So, North Korea, real quickly, the number one justification to go to war with North Korea is that they have enslaved 25 million people, are held prisoners inside that communist prison camp that's the size of a nation. Now, at Harvard University, the Kennedy School there has issued a report saying that North Korea has biological weapons, that they have the facilities to mass produce those weapons, that they're flouting a United Nations ban on biological weapons, and that they have the ability to deliver them via missiles, drones, planes, sprayers. And how do we know all this? Well, part of it is because of defectors who've come out of North Korea and also South Korean reports. But you know what's interesting? When someone lives in a communist country or a country run by terrorist, tyrannical dictators like Saddam Hussein in Iraq, the defectors will often lie. They'll often exaggerate because of their desperate need for the world to depose their government leaders, to destroy that government. So they'll often lie. So this is the kind of propaganda. This, perhaps it's true, perhaps it's not. But earlier this past summer, I shared with the audience that we're seeing the startup of the war machine, the propaganda machine, to prepare the public for attacking North Korea. And that should happen. That needs to happen. And so this is part of that propaganda machine. Actually, whether it's true or whether it's not, how could we know? Perhaps we'll get some kind of definitive information. But regardless, it is important that the world be rid of communist governments, and especially communist governments that are threatening their neighbors with nuclear destruction. So that's just an added motivation. Hey, we're out of time. Remember tomorrow's program with Michael. It should be a stunning broadcast event. Please tune in or go to our website, kgov.com. May God bless you.